we're all watching and seeing the news this morning that at least, and I emphasize that, at least 235 people were killed when two major earthquakes rocked Venezuela. Yeah, on Wednesday evening, the country's health authorities have said a day after the 7.2 and 7.5 magnitude quakes hit, the rescuers are working frenetically to try to pull people from the rubble. Thousands are missing. Have a listen.
We are in the municipality of Chacao, one of the worst areas that were affected by the two earthquakes that hit Venezuela on this Wednesday. At my back, we can see one of the buildings that just collapsed in this area. At least 10 buildings has collapsed in Caracas City, according to the authorities, but the most affected area is La Guaira State. You can see here machinery removing the concrete, rubber, trees, trying to look for survivors. In the squares are people gathering just to bring supplies as donations. The people that was not strongly affected by these double earthquakes are just trying to help, donating food, food for children, and even praying for those that are expecting that in the coming hours, with the help of other countries, find more survivors of this tragedy.
There you go. That's some of the reporting from Venezuela. There's stories this morning that a woman was pulled alive from the rubble as the rescuers search for survivors. At least 235 have been confirmed killed, 4,300 injured, with many more feared dead and others left homeless or too afraid to stay in damaged buildings. Well, with me on the line to talk about this, we have Eamon Stack, who is from Kerry but spent some time in Venezuela and has been back originally from Tralee, now lives in Kilkenny, lived in Venezuela for 3 years in the 1990s and went back regularly over the years to visit friends. Eamon, good morning to you and thanks for talking to us this morning about this.
Kerry, thanks very much for having me on.
Devastating news, a trouble that's been in the, a country that's been in the news for all sorts of political and other reasons over the last number of years, most recently when their president was kidnapped, I suppose is the best term to say it, by the US authorities and taken to America. But what was your reaction when you first heard the news of the devastation of these two earthquakes?
Well, obviously you got to family first, so I was on the phone straight away trying to find out if everybody is okay. Some of the people I know live on the Orinoco River, which is a long way away, so they're all safe. And in Caracas, you know, the family members are people I know very well. They're safe, but their buildings have been damaged. Yeah, their buildings have been damaged. But the friends of theirs were down on the coast in La Guaira area. So La Guaira is the coastal area that's separated from Caracas, which is a valley, by this huge El Avila mountain. So you go up the mountain up to 8,000 feet, nearly three times the height of Carantul, down to the sea. And it's down at the sea where the just incredible damage of buildings.
Yeah, and that they're showing that the 7.2 magnitude hit first around the Caracas, around the area to the left, but then it just the bigger one hit afterwards, and that really brought down buildings and caused a huge amount of damage.
Yes, yeah. So interesting, in Caracas itself, there's a known fault in the tectonic plates on the east side of the city. So you heard that woman talk about Chacao and Altamira. It's actually the posh area of the city for what's left there. And there were a lot of buildings fell. And the story there, Jerry, is that there was an earthquake in 1977. And after that, building standards increased. So the buildings that were built after 77 mostly stayed standing. It's the ones, the earlier, older, beautiful colonial buildings, that a lot of them 10-story buildings just came crumbling down.
Yeah, which is a tragedy in and of itself. Obviously, the work is being done to try and rescue as many people as possible. That toll will probably rise. But I suppose the situation not helped either by the sort of trouble Venezuela has been in over the last number of decades, the corruption that's there, the outside interference, the mismanagement, Eamon, that all comes to force when you need help, when you need a properly organised society to try and save people.
No, that's right. But I mean, the first thing we need to say is Venezuela is a magnificent country, right? It's a fantastic country. It's really beautiful. You know, I think of Kerry, the beauty of Kerry, and we've got a 3,000-foot Carantul. They've got a 16,000-foot Pico Bolivar in the Andes. It's enormous.
Oh my God.
And you know,
yeah.
I love Banna Strand, and I talked about Finnis. I was there in Finnis last week. Beautiful beach. But they've got 2,000 miles of Caribbean beach that the sun is always shining. So it's an amazing country. It's an amazing country, and it's got tons of resources. We all know about their oil. They've got iron. They've got bauxite. They've got gold and diamonds. So it's, you know, the country is beautiful, and it's a treasure in the world. Unfortunately, it has been shockingly bad managed. Like, neglect and mismanagement and corruption have dominated the last 27 years of this Chavista government. And I was there at the beginning of it. And, you know, at the beginning there was some hope that, everyone likes change and change promises of new, but it has been an absolute and total disaster. And therefore, they don't even have enough fire brigades, they don't have enough ambulances to deal with the current crisis. So there's a very strong plea. They need outside help. It is an absolute double disaster. And, you know, I think that it's going to go up to 10,000 people dead because...
Really?
They just don't have the resources to find the people under the rubble, and lots of people are going to die unnecessarily.
Oh my God. The irony is, it should be a paradise. It should be one of the wealthiest nations on earth and the most sought after place to live with all that you describe. But because of the mismanagement and corruption, it isn't.
It's absolutely that, and it is so beautiful. I was over with my mother from Tralee, and we went on holidays there. She went to Margarita Island. You know, it's Caribbean paradise. You have it, but I'm afraid mismanagement results in this, and I never know what the answer is because they've had dictatorships. They've had right-wing governments, they've had left-wing governments. I don't know what the answer is to solve it. Yeah. But currently now, friends of ours are saying they have friends who were in La Guaira area down at the coast, and they haven't heard from them. There's lots of people that haven't been heard from since the earthquake. And, I think they're
fear the worst.
Thousands and thousands. Absolutely. It is. It's shocking.
What are the people like? What are Venezuelan people like?
It's Caribbean country. It's salsa music. It's happy sunshine country. So it's fantastic. One of the things, Jerry, I'd say it's most interesting is I had been in the United States as a young Kerry man landing in New York. I was shocked by the racism problem in the United States, which we all know about. They have none of that in Venezuela, and they've never had a war. They're peace-loving people with no, you know, mixed race from Africa, Latin America, Europe, and India, and they all get on extremely well. So that's a real asset. You know, that's a model to the world of how ethnic groups should get on. And I say it's a happy culture, and the tragedy is a complete contradiction to that.
We now have the outside interference of the United States as well. Hopefully they will provide a lot of aid. They're in there, obviously, I suppose. Look, Donald Trump's made no bones about they're in there because of the oil, and they weren't happy with Maduro anyway. But that's going to be destabilizing as well to it, and a realization that, you know, it won't help the situation. Or maybe financially it will. But as you said, Eamon, it's too late now to have these things in place to aid the rescue effort, to save people.
Well, they can, you know, the United States can get things there very quickly. The bad news is La Guaira is the main port in Venezuela, so it's been damaged, and the airport is beside it. So the airport runway is damaged. So they have to fix these things first so that they can get in the supplies. But I think, you know, Marco Rubio, is very empathetic to Latin American countries. So now that they have their vested interest in Venezuela, I hope the United States will rise to this and send equipment, particularly heavy lifting equipment, to clear the buildings and find any people that might still be alive.
Yeah, you really believe we're at the start of a process that could end up with many thousands dead, Eamon?
I think so. I absolutely think so. Because if you see where the epicenter is, it's west of Caracas. It's 150, 180 kilometres west. And there's a lot of towns and cities there that they haven't been accessed yet. You know, and the buildings would have just collapsed on top of families. It really is very sad. And then, you know, in the Caracas, there's obviously the capital city has more resources, and La Guaira. But it is devastating. No country could handle something as huge as this.
Yes, even aside from whatever deficiencies are there in the emergency services and all of that, two earthquakes of this size would push any country to the brink in terms of the damage that's done.
Completely. Yeah, an economy that's already in the floor because of the years and years of the embargoes, you know, the oil embargoes, which is our main export. I'll say we have to do it. Humanly, we have to respond, and I suppose the Irish government has to do its bit as well, you know, to say, look at it, this is life and death for people, so we need to help where we can.
Yeah, Goal have an appeal already up and running, goalglobal.org, the Venezuela appeal, and you can help the families in urgent need. You can donate now. I imagine many others will follow that as well. So are the international aid agencies present there, Eamon, do you know? They would be active.
Very few. Now, one of the buildings that fell in Caracas was a Red Cross building, ironically. There are some there. It was a very closed under the Chavista government. Maduro was very closed, but it has opened up a bit now to foreign NGOs. There is a good NGO world there as well. I worked there with the Jesuits, so they have a very good social service capacity. There's Irish MSC priests are there. There are a lot of people who can be good conduits for support to get in. But they will need food now for the next 6 months, so that will be important, you know, that water and food are made available to people as they recover.
Yeah, that will be very important indeed. And it's 5:30 in the morning there, so still not daylight there, but they are working through the night where they have lights. We'll see more of that today, that's for sure, Eamon. Is it somewhere, look, will you go back? Will you go back? For a look, will you go back and visit?
I'd love to. I would. Yeah. No. I've got very good friends there, and one family has come over here to Ireland who was working with me. Yeah, I would come back in a flash, except for that political situation, the violent situation. But I think that has actually changed a bit. So, but it's such a beautiful place. I would. Yeah.
And hopefully the rebuilding, I suppose that's the other thing for down the line, not for today. The rebuilding of those buildings, if they get support in that, that they can put them up and that they can all be earthquake proofed in as much as they can be for the future.
Yes. Just an interesting thing, that the poor areas, the barrios in Caracas and down to La Guaira, when the people build houses, they actually build them with reinforced concrete. So there is a cultural knowledge that they're on a fault line and the dangers of earthquakes. So the poorer people have built very strong houses. It takes them maybe 20 years to build them, but that is just one sign of hope, you know, that people know how to preserve themselves.
Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully that was the case. All right, Eamon, listen, thanks so much for talking to me about it and giving your perspective on what sounds like an amazing, if troubled, country, and hopefully they get the support that they can over the next number of days.
Thanks very much, Jerry, for having me.
Brilliant. Eamon Stack there, originally from Kerry, now living in Kilkenny, talking about his time in Venezuela, the kind of country it is, kind of people that they are, and unfortunately, the difficulties that they're in now because of the corruption, the closed governments, the outside interference and all those sort of things that have caused problems and led to, I suppose, those difficulties. And the most depressing thing about it is, as Eamon said, they don't have enough ambulance personnel, they don't have enough fire service, they don't have enough emergency services because of that corruption and that failure to organise their society. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us in the programme. We'll have more on the way.